AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. John Hewitt, 57B, is going to be Democrat of the Day. We'll talk to him. That's a very winnable DFL seat. And you know, Erica is with us today. You know how, Eric, they've had this. Basically, it's about a 14 to 20-point swing, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
This was, I think, a 7-point win for the Republicans back during Trump's campaign. So this is a very much in play seat.
It's definitely up there for contention.
This is one of those Republicans in a district like this. Who's Donald? What? Who? What? I don't. Me? No. I don't blame me. No, I won't blame you for Donald Trump. I'll blame you for being a coward, not standing up to Kurt Dowd and actually doing something for your constituents. That's what I'll blame you for. Bye. So, bon voyage. So long. See you later. Bye. We'll talk to John a little bit later on about that. Today, I got a chance to finally go on out to the Bell Museum of Natural History. This is, of course, the famous University of Minnesota Museum of Natural History that they had on campus for many, many years. Did you ever get a chance to go over to that?
I don't think so, no.
The dioramas where they had all the stuffed animals?
No.
And stuff. Well, it was my dad, when he went to the University of Minnesota, he thought that place was pretty cool. When we go down there, I'd always feel like there was a bit of romantic antiquated feel to it, like you could see the people in the 1910s and 1920s, you know, going on out and putting on their Sunday best and strolling past these dioramas and looking at all these exotic animals that they did not get a chance to see. It's really well done. They've moved it and changed it a lot. I mean, still some of the dioramas are there and some of the original artwork that was over at the old Bell Museum that was on campus right outside of Dinkytown. They've kept some of that stuff, but now they moved it over kind of over by the St. Paul side of the campus, Larpinder in Cleveland, right by is it the Gibbs Farm that's over there, the historic farm, Gibbs Farm, that's over there?
I don't know that it's called Gibbs Farm.
That's on
farm over there. Yeah,
that's run by Dakota County, but it's on the other side. It's basically, I think it's a brilliant job of the University of Minnesota. They basically went out and used a lot of land that they had not been using, moved everything down there. And the science and space stuff is phenomenal. I mean, that's really good. I wanted to go to the planetarium because every time I see planetarium, every time you see a planetarium, the first thing it comes into, coming up Friday night, Laser Frampton at the planetarium. You know, because when I was a kid, that's what they did. Come see Laser Kiss over at the planetarium.
Yeah, I mean, that's before my age, but still, it was such a
great idea by these science brain dudes saying, you know what? What are the potheads doing tonight? I got an idea. Surprise, they didn't sell shrooms in the lobby if you want to know the truth.
That's what the horticulture said.
Wait a minute here. How do I know? That is the entire ag industry of the entire University of Minnesota's on the St. Paul side. I don't know what's out in those fields. There could be all sorts of things going out there. Their own version of Breaking Bad. I don't know. It is just so wonderfully done, though. I didn't get a chance to go to the planetarium. Of course, my kids would have hated going with me because the entire time is coming Friday night. It's Laser Elton John. Laser Santana. If you are like myself, I turned 50 this year. If you are like myself and you grew up in this town and you remember the days of KJ 104 and the early KQ and all these guys at these rock stations that were out there, and you remember those come get to the planetarium for Laser Yellow. You remember that. I was like, what are we going to do? Going to go roller skate and are we going to go see Laser Little River Band? What are we going to do tonight, huh? By the way, lamest laser show ever, Laser Little River Band. Happy anniversary, baby. Oh, not enough drugs. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Okay, I've had way too many people send me this. I cannot not talk about it. There is this guy called Joe Suchere, who writes for the Pioneer Press. You know, he's tries to be this everyman. He's a hack. He really is. I mean, most of his arguments, he has to leave out major facts to basically have his argument make any sense at all. He's the guy that's convinced that the only reason St. Paul doesn't vote straight Republican is buses of people, primarily minority people, going polling place to polling place, and in return for their continued and repeated votes across St. Paul, they each get a carton of heaters. And I've offered $500 for someone on election day. If you got a picture of a bus outside of a polling place where all these people are walking off the bus with a carton of heaters in their hand, I will pay for that picture. I would love to see that one.
Yeah, not how do stage. I sign up for that?
Not stage. You got to go around St. Paul. Apparently those buses are everywhere. It's that kind of sound logic and reporting that you come to expect from Suchi. Well, Suchi's got a new target in his scope, and it's coyotes. Or rather, actually, the liberal coyote agenda, I should say. He goes after this woman named Molly Lunaris, who is the animal control supervisor of St. Paul. They're, you know, how poorly served they are by unresponsive bureaucrats. That's a different story. I want to know whether Lunaris had a family and particularly young children. She was the author of one of the strangest quotes to come down the road in a long time. Asked about increasing sightings of coyotes in St. Paul. I think it speaks well for our city that wild animals choose to live here. It speaks that we care and put the environment in that welcoming place for a multitude of species. Lunaris makes it sound like there was a coyote convention in Las Vegas, St. Paul, beat out the Phoenix, Omaha, and St. Louis, possibly because of tax incentives, to bring the coyotes to St. Paul. She also said coyotes are likely to stay in the area as the city works to clean up its water and improve parks. Molly, most of us cannot identify with that mindset. Coyotes are deceitful opportunists. No, those are Republicans. No, I'm sorry. They are. If I'm lying, I'm dying, man. Deceitful opportunists, that should be the GOP motto. It seriously should be. Apparently, once again, coyotes are deceitful opportunists.
I love that term, deceitful, to describe an animal.
Laser deceitful opportunists. They are not cute or fluffy or otherwise warm and caring. They will drink from oil-stained puddle in the middle of the street. Dude, I know a guy, you give him $5, he'll do the same thing. They don't seriously, I do. They don't really care what condition the parks are in. Given half a chance, they would tear a 2-year-old child apart. Dun dun dun. Most of us don't want coyotes, only to discover we have our animal control supervisor woman in the Golden Book view of wildlife. Bambi is real, and the night of the creatures gather around the fire. The raccoons provide for story time. Mr. Turkey is there. Now, okay, he goes, you can kind of see where he's going with this. That wild animals are not pretty. We've talked about the evil, the Northeast turkeys, the gang of turkeys that runs the streets up there. Do not cross those turkeys. They will drop you in Northeast Minneapolis. They are fish. I've seen them. They walk around like they own the place. Raccoons. I've often mentioned, I hope the Minnesota Zoo did not pay for the raccoons in the Minnesota exhibit. Don't tell me you paid a damn dime. I can get you 5 of them in my neighborhood right now. I'll give them to you. I'll go trap them and give them. You paid for those? You paid for a raccoon in Minnesota. Really? We've talked about this. I have seen coyote. There was a coyote carcass that was out on 169 Excelsior. This is about 2 years ago. Looks like it got tagged by a plow. I saw it when it was spring thaw, and it was over in one of the ditches, and it clearly got hit by something. So we have animals around. As a matter of fact, there's a gray fox that's running through my neighborhood right now trying to kill all the bunnies. And gray foxes are a wild animal. I'm not getting the fox blind up there to where I can start blasting away at the fox in my Hopkins neighborhood. It's just part of the deal. I got deer around, got a lot of things around. I will make an argument. Considering they had that bear down in Burnsville not that long ago, I'll make an argument somewhere down the Mississippi River Valley in Minneapolis proper, there's probably a bear. I would make an argument and a black bear is down in there somewhere. Absolutely. No, and I'm not talking about the dude who's – no, not that guy. No, an actual bear. You might want to go talk to someone about laser hair removal. But hey, laser hair removal. Anyway, plantar species. Let's see here. Next thing you know, we have to be accommodating the Green Bay Packer fans. 2-year-olds are in my charge. I'm reasonably confident that if I turned my head for a moment or two and she got in the clutches of a mangy, hungry coyote, I would be in big trouble. That's why I wanted to – well, you know, are you watching your kid? You should be watching your kid. Maybe that might be the good idea. It's a 2-year-old. That's why I wanted to know whether Linares had small children. No one I know in St. Paul is pleased with the increase of coyotes, and no one I know knew what we had an animal control supervisor with such an unrealistic grasp of reality. While coyote attacks of humans are not too routine, you can do a Google search and come up with hundreds of reports of coyotes attacking humans. Wikipedia alone has 19 pages of such reports. Now, has 19 pages of reports of coyotes attacking human beings, biting, attacking, including 2 tragic tales, and tales, which he basically puts forward. What he doesn't say here, let's start getting into the beginning of Suchere's lies. These are the only 2 cases listed on the Wikipedia page for coyote attacks that they have. One was in 1981 on a 3-year-old girl, and then a 29-year-old in April 29th this year, a coyote in Mount Pleasant, New York, charged a 5-year-old while she was visiting a park with her mom, brother. They fought off the animal there. There's like 1 or 2 cases. You know, that's the case. Other coppers arrived and shot the beast. The girl needed rabies treatment, stitches, and antibiotics. Much to the public class is so thoroughly indoctrinated by the theology and diversity that we have crossed the aisle into now include apparently coyotes an example of a welcoming spirit. No, coyotes are not to be trusted, nor are they welcome. St. Paul prohibits keeping such animals, and they were always considered to be open season, meaning we could shoot them on site if we lived there, such as shooting would be legal. And they are not here because of climate change or loss of the natural habitat. They are here because there is food, and coyotes, like all urban wildlife, have increased their presence since the day dogs were required to be on leashes. But I've already given you that sermon. So basically what his argument is this, that the fact that coyotes are there and that it's not some liberal agenda. I mean, what can you do? I mean, outside of, are you seriously suggesting that we should allow people to carry hunting weapons up and down Snelling Avenue, University, Como, Kellogg, you know, all around the Capitol to shoot whenever they see a coyote? Are you seriously saying we should have open season to hunt in the city proper itself? Are you going to allow people to, you know, go down to Rice Park and set up a blind, get a few beers in them? Hopefully don't start shooting at Landmark Center, you idiot. Now, where Suchi steps in it, though, and he steps in it so beautifully, is in this last little comment. Coyotes have increased their presence since the day dogs were required to be on leashes. Because you know what? That when we allowed dogs to run free, that's when everything was great. When dogs were free.
Wild dogs are way safer than coyotes.
Well, you see, now you and I, Eric, are thinking the same way. Although, let's just remove the wild element of it. What is the situation about dogs and dog attacks? If you go to the same Wikipedia where Suchi got his 2 coyote deaths and you type in dog attacks, fatal dog attacks in the United States, at least since 1981, 250. Not injuries, not accidents, not bites, not just, these are deaths. Deaths caused by dogs. 250, Suchi is wetting himself because of 2 coyote deaths since 1981. At least 4.5 to 4.6 million Americans are bitten by dogs every year, according to the Center for Disease Control. So what Suchi is proposing is that an animal that has a far more deadly rate of attack than coyotes, that bites people in the realm of 4.5 to 4.6 million Americans per year, should be all released off their leashes so that then we can keep the coyotes at bay, who might bite you themselves. And in the very rare case, not 250, but occasionally they do kill someone. What kind of moron is Suchi? Good thinking, garage. Make sure you vent that garage, by the way, because I think you're smelling too much of the exhaust fumes. 952-94662. How stupid are you? I read this the first time, and the first thing I said is, what's the average dog death rate? And immediately I found it. But no, hey, no, release all the dogs, man, because there might be a coyote somewhere nearby. You are an angry old man who likes to wait for a kid to throw a frisbee in your yard just so you can go out there and scream, my frisbee now! Might be time to retire. Just going to say. Might be time to retire. Watch out. You might want to stay inside, though. Coyotes might be coming. 952-946-6205. Wow. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Let's take a break right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance company. Companies.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories. Your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making home affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jasia from Nightingale at 26 Lindale. My wife and chef Carrie and I invite you to enjoy our local seasonal fare, along with thoughtfully chosen wine and beer lists, a refreshing cocktail selection, and continued dedication to outstanding service. Nightingale's freshly remodeled patio is perfect for dinner, happy hour, brunch, and late night fun. We offer our full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your attorney general, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your attorney general, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
Hello to everyone watching us on the Facebook page. Go to Facebook. Go to AM 950 Radio. You can watch the radio. It's radio for your eyes. Shannon saying, I live in St. Paul. I've never been voting Democrat for years. I never gotten a benefit. Where is her carton of cigarettes, Suchi? She wants her carton of heaters, man. Let her make sure she has them. Hi, Shannon. Thanks for...
Maybe we could trade in some, like, coyote pills.
No. That's not going... No. Well, I mean, would you... How many coyotes are really in St. Paul? It's not like... Have you ever been to Phoenix?
Yeah.
They're everywhere down there. I mean, it's they got their Acme stuff. They're looking for roadrunners. It's wild. They don't seem to, you know, be shooting them in the middle of downtown Phoenix, at least. Lori Peterson writing, my coyote expert tells me the largest coyote ever found in Minnesota was 40 pounds, 40 stinking pounds. That's like a spaniel. What kind of weakling, I'm editing that word, is Suchi? I think we all know the guy who feels like man when he gets to kill a small animal. You can't take a, okay, it's a cocker freaking spaniel that's got an attitude for sure. You can't fight that off your two-year-old? Seriously, if in the realm of stupid thought processes, and Eric will testify to this because you're looking at the Wikipedia page right here.
Yeah, I am.
Lots of dog attacks and dog killings.
Fatal dog attacks.
Yeah, fatal dog attacks. There are tons. So his argument to counterpoint the fact that two people since nationwide have been killed by coyotes since 1981, his counterpoint is to release more dogs. Dogs, once again, bite 4.5 to 4.6 million Americans per year, and there has been at least well over 250 fatal dog attacks in the United States, well over 250 since 1981. If that isn't the epitome of conservative Republican policy, I don't know what it is. I found one kid who basically doesn't like public schools, so we're going to torpedo the entire public school system so that one child can get a voucher to go to a private school. Idiots. Idiots. Seriously, man. Mike is in Columbia Heights. Mike, welcome on into the show. Thanks for holding.
Boy, Matt, I got to hand it to you that you could actually sit down and read that sixth grade prose of a Suchere that he puts in that St. Paul paper. You know, it's amazing what crack shots people are. Cops pop off 14 rounds in an alley. Four of them hit the target. 11 go who knows where. Suchere, everybody should be carrying a hunting rifle to shoot the coyotes. You know, everybody's a crack shot. How many shots skip off and kill somebody in the distance? And let's compare the number of muskie bites to the number of coyote bites. And so let's see which one is more. And then we should carry our 22s out onto the lake so we can shoot the muskies when they attack our children.
I think we have to shoot all the muskies in the state. You're right. We have to firing there.
That's
So if we're supposed to...
dangerous.
And Mike, and thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call, Mike. If I'm supposed to shoot a coyote, what if I'm like in the 12th story of an apartment building? And I look down and it looks like a coyote. And I got what I think is a clean shot from the 12th floor. Do I just open fire into the alleyway? And if I miss a few and they bounce and ricochet, oopsie. Is that what I'm supposed to do?
You'd have to.
Yeah.
Keep the city safe.
Because you know what? That's what real men used to do. Just willy-nilly fire from the 12th floor of their apartment building on an animal that may or may not be a coyote. Caw. Wussies. Ha! Jesus. Oh, man. I do want to actually mention this because we got Democrat of the Day coming up here as soon as we come back from the break with John Hewitt, 57B. I did want to mention this other just horrible story out of Apple Valley. 18-year-old is in jail after allegedly pushing an 8-year-old boy over the water slide railing. The child fell more than 30 feet from the slide's platform. Police responded to a call at the Apple Valley Aquatic Center in Minnesota on Tuesday afternoon. The boy was on alert and breathing when they arrived, had multiple broken bones. Oh, my goodness. This is from Fox 9 reporting this. According to police, Roman Adams of Maple Grove was waiting behind the boy on the slide when the teen picked up the boy, pushed him over the railing. The 18-year-old fell to the hard concrete. The two didn't know each other and didn't appear to have any other interaction. Apple Valley Police Captain Nick Franson says that Adams is developmentally delayed and an aide was with him at the pool, though it's unclear if the aide was in line with him. Adams said that he was upset that the line was taking too long. Despite his disability, Adams will face criminal charges. The boy has already had multiple surgeries to fix his injuries. Wow. Wow. There's a lot there to unpack on that story. To the family, to the boy, the 8-year-old boy in the family there, all my best. I hope that he heals. Thank you very much to the emergency responders and the medical people that are trying to help this kid, because this kid was just trying to go down a water slide, and the next thing you know, he's falling 30 feet into a concrete pad. I don't know. More on the story is going to come on out. Was the aide with him at the time? Is this child, was this 18-year-old, I shouldn't say child, he's an adult, he's going to be charged as an adult. Did he have a history of violently acting out, or was this the first time? I'm not saying it wasn't the first time, but I find that kind of hard to believe. I don't know what you do with this story. That is a tough story, and I mean, it brings up a lot of questions in regards to the idea of, you know, safety and as the way they described it, developmentally delayed. If someone's developmentally delayed, you know, what is the you know, you want to have people have normal lives and stuff. But where is that delineation if you have a suspicion? And I'm not saying that this was the case. It could have been the first case this 18-year-old lashed out like this. But what is the responsibility for the safety of others? Okay, just real quick before we get to Democrat of the Day, Randy in Coon Rapids wanted to chime in on the water slide story. Randy, real quick here before I go to break. Go ahead.
All right, Matt. Yeah, I was thinking about you when I heard this story. I also heard on the story that this kid – I don't know if he got kicked out or whatever, but he bit one of the lifeguards there. So this is not his first incident. And I thought to myself, I wanted to ask Matt, what would you do if you were there and this kid did that to your kid?
I don't know if it's applying to me. I think about anyone. I mean, this kid's just in line. This 8-year-old child's in line. Let's not call him a kid. He's 18 years old. He's going to be charged as an adult. He, you know, someone just grabs him and chucks him over a railing. I don't know. I mean, the question I had: have you heard whether or not the aide that was supposed to be with Roman Adams, was he with him in line or was he not?
I don't know that the aide was there at the pool. I don't know if the aide was in line with the kid. I don't care what this kid's got. That's off the table.
Where did you read about the fact that this child Roman Adams, the 18-year-old, where did you read that he had had a previous incident at the pool?
It was on, I believe it was on Channel 5 News. I saw it.
All right.
He had a prior that he bit a lifeguard. I don't know what happened to him. If he just got kicked out or whatever, I didn't hear that part of it. But
right.
He had an incident there with biting a lifeguard there, and I was just like.
If there's a history of this, and Randy, I got to let you go because I got to get to Democrat of the Day. If there's a history of this, then there's a real question of why is this individual being taken and put around kids, especially unsupervised, if that was the case. Obviously, more on that to come. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. John Hewitt, 57B, when we do return, Democrat of the Day. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, everybody. Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
Get your vehicle's summertime service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. The last thing you need is a breakdown while on a road trip or heading to the lake. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. I trust them. They're fast, courteous, and they do the job right. Get your vehicle summer ready at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
I'm Richard Painter, and I'm running in the DFL primary for the U.S. Senate. I believe we're at a critical juncture in our nation's history. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than the public good. But what is happening right now is a symptom of a larger disease. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, I have been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now I want to fight for you in the United States Senate. I will fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. I will fight against money in politics and corruption on all levels of government. I will fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behavior of President Trump. It's time to impeach. Please support me in the DFL primary on August 14. See all the issues at PainterMinnesota.com. I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Nightingale, fantastic restaurant over on 2551 Lindale. Stop on by. They've got those sharing plates, and they got a rotating menu, so you need to go check their menu out. Fantastic food. The seafood is exceptional. I had the octopus once. That was very tasty. Also lamb, but the vegetarian options, if you – trust me, if you're a person that generally is not a vegetarian, go try the vegetarian options over at Nightingale. They're fantastic. And once again, their concept is sharing plates, but I don't generally share my plates. I'm just – they can go get their own plates. That's what I do. But if you'd like to share, by all means, that's the concept. 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Nightingale is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Democrat of the day is from 57B. John Hewitt is kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign to capture that seat from the GOP. John, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for this great opportunity.
My pleasure. I'm glad we were available. Let's start off with 57B. Where exactly is 57B for everyone listening right now?
That includes the town of Rosemount, northern Apple Valley, kind of north of 140th in Apple Valley, and all of Coates, Minnesota, too.
Oh, is the Minnesota Zoo in your district?
You know, it is, and I'm sorry to mention that, but that is in my district, yes.
So, and Coates is actually one of my favorite towns, and the reason why is it's named after a Civil War hero from Minnesota, so I've always I like going down that area. It is a lovely area and a very fast-growing part of the metro area. It's like almost everyone said, hey, wait, there's this really great part of southeastern metro that we need to start developing, and I was down there earlier this year for a baseball tournament. It's very impressive how that district has developed.
You know, it is, and it's really exciting, too, because we've really – I actually do real estate part-time, and it's just so fun when families move down here. And one of our core values why people move to the area is education and our great schools that we have down here. And they're world-renowned. We have wonderful teachers and the extracurricular activities that we have. Naturally, I'm from Rosemount, so I'm going to brag about our football team. But we have great programs, and we have a great band program in the district. So it's why we bring people to the areas, because of these great schools and our great teachers.
And brag all you like. That football program's great. Your baseball team is, by the way, we've run into them. I've run into them from Hopkins. They're pretty darn good too. And you should also brag about that music program. I've heard from others that my kids are all playing in band. I've heard from others, your music program down in Rosemount, that's fantastic.
It is. And not just the band, which has grown threefold this year, I guess, but we have a great choir program. We have a wonderful debate program. Our DECA team at the high school has taken national awards many times. And so does Eastview has wonder. I mean, yeah. ACT scores, the whole district just blow us away. And we're just so excited. And that's one of the core issues I'm hearing at the doors this year, is how important our education is to us, and to keep it well-funded. And, you know, we run in challenges like everybody else does around the state, but we want to make sure that we're able to provide for these teachers and provide for the classroom so our kids come out ready to go.
John Hewitt, once again joining us right now, 57B's Democrat of the day. I should mention Hewitt is not as some people might expect it to be spelled. It's H-U-O-T, correct?
That's correct. Thank you for mentioning that.
H-U-O-T, because we're gonna drive people to your website a little bit later on here. You'd mentioned you're from Rosemont. You're a real estate agent. How about a little more information? Who exactly is John Hewitt?
Well, thanks for giving me that. I did start out in real estate. There's a long story of how I got there. But my passion and my love is I'm an EMT by trade. I spent 30 years in EMS, 20 as a clinician for a metro flight company here, and then 10 in the management side of that, doing business development and government relations. I have a real passion for healthcare and the people in need of it. It's kind of neat when I went to work those days, and I'm doing it again. I'm in a metro ER now, and people don't know that they're going to meet me by the end of the day. They don't wake up saying, I'm going to go meet that EMT or meet those nurses in the hospital. And by the end of the day, they're there, and the stories I hear and the people I help treat are just remarkable, and that kind of forms where I'm headed with this election, too. At the doors, I'm hearing more and more people talk about their health care costs. And the last election, as I ran before, we didn't hear about it as much. But here's the problem, and I see it in the ER today. People come in with, $5,000-$10,000 deductibles, and they're afraid to come into the hospital or afraid to go to the doctor because they can't afford that. And we need to work on that. We need to work on affordable health care for all, and that's key to the next election. I mean, education's high, but that affordable health care, really, we got to focus on that because I don't want to hear those sad stories anymore in the ER.
You are the first one to bring up the deductibles issue, and that is a huge problem. When your deductible is $6,000 and you're living check to check, it might as well be $1 billion because these people can't afford that. And you're right that there are many people that need to go to the hospital, need to go get checked out, but because their insurance, their deductibles are so high that it's just garbage insurance. We tried to fix this with the Affordable Care Act. Trump's trying to take us back to the days of garbage insurance. I just saw a story about that today. And, the reality is if we don't get these deductibles under control, we can have the greatest healthcare system on the planet, which we do. It's the accessibility which is the problem.
And that's where we're headed. And I got to, the last legislative cycle, we were kind of forced into what the other, what our other side gave us. And, they gave a bunch of money to the insurance companies, and the companies were happy to take that money, and they're running on this. I know they are. And here's what happened is they raised the deductibles and played with the formularies. And so that's not the fix. The fix is to make this affordable and get into the nitty-gritty, and let's work on it together. Let's get the physicians and those nurses and those providers, and let's get the patients to the table, and let's fix this once and for all. I know, and there's another thing I want to talk about that kind of relates to this that I also see, and I'm sickened by it, is the issues that were left on the table this year by the other side. Our elderly are, they have to be safe, and they're not safe right now in some of these assisted living places. We have to take, there's a bill there that they had, but yet that wasn't sent to the governor. And what was sent, he had the veto because of bait. But here's the deal. That should have never been sent there with a buried in a bill. It should have been put alone because this is so important. We have to take care of those that took care of us. These are the people that made us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and walked us to the bus. And yet we're turning our back on them. That's a sin. And I really think that's it just makes me mad to go down there because I do see these people in the ER, and it's sad because they should be better taken care of.
You bring that up, and it's a great point because we are not taking care of our seniors, but you also broach the subject of what has been the problem with the Minnesota Republican Party, especially in the Minnesota House under Kurt Daudt. They don't want to pass any bill individually unless they say, what as we, as Republicans, can we get out of this bill as far as compromise? So they take stuff like taking care of seniors or broadband or hands-free cell phone bills and basically table them or bury them or put them in poison pill bills, basically because what they're trying to do is force other people's hands to pass bills which are not good, or to try to get kickbacks from an industry for campaign donations, as opposed to do what's best for Minnesota's citizens.
And we have to focus on that last line because that's what I'm hearing at the doors. We got to do what's best for Minnesota citizens and stop this party bickering and move forward. Another example is our own zoo or our veterans home down in Hastings. Me being a Gold Star family member, I lost my brother when I was 7 years old, and he died in Vietnam. And the vets play a special, a very, very special place in my heart. And I get sickened by this where, yeah, we'll send them a bandage down to the veterans home to fix those leaky pipes and stuff like that. What are we saying to our vets? We need to step up. They signed on the bottom line. They're not looking for a handout. As state, we can take care of that. Why did they leave that there? And the Minnesota Zoo is the same thing. One job that my opponent has, one of the assets in our area is that Minnesota Zoo. I was 12 years old when they built that, and it was great. We were able to ride the monorail and look at the live wildlife, and it was one of the zoos of the country to go to. And nowadays, all we do is keep putting a bandage on it when it needs a trauma dressing. And that's sad. The monorail doesn't work. But, you know, they got these great dreams. But yet, what do? We send them a bandage where it needs a trauma dressing. And I think the other side is not really stepping up. And that's why we got to do reasonable change, and we need to change that legislator. And I'm hoping I'm one of those people they look at.
Well, and what's interesting is this, and this is why all politics is local. For us, I love the zoo. I'm a member of the zoo. And by the way, the zoo has done their job. That parking lot is full. They bring in tons of kids from these schools. They have informational programs, educational programs. They just have a lot of fun, and they have delicious cheesy popcorn. That being said, for you, this is a very different issue. This is in your district. This is a major tourist attraction in your district. And when the Republican is out there not taking care of what should be a slam dunk no-brainer, at least going up and standing up to Kurt Dowd and saying, I am not going to let this become a hot potato issue. I am not going to let this become some sacrificial lamb. We need funding for the Minnesota Zoo. It's in my district. What are you going to do? She's not doing that. And so we need to put someone in there. Your district needs to put someone in there that's going to basically help out that Minnesota Zoo.
And you know what? And that is so true. Because the thing is that I see with my opponent is she's a great sympathizer, but she can't empathize. I'm 53 years old. I definitely lived a life. Being an EMS alone gives you a life. But one of the things I did from the last election to this election is I went out in the state, and I used to work with a lot of networks of different people that were leaders in towns. And I went out there and asked them, what's important in your town? And up in the Iron Range, there's definitely issues up there, which we can go on to and fill a full day of show. Or over in Wheaton, or over in up in War Road, or down in Pipestone. We all have our issues, but you have to be able to network with those other legislators throughout the state so they know how to empathize with you and you can get it done together so they don't lose out on what they have, too. And I don't see that being done that well with the current rep. But I know I'm committed to it. And, God, if I get in there, that zoo is going to be back to par. I mean, you're right. It's a beautiful zoo. They do their part and fill that parking lot. But you know what? As Minnesotans, like in healthcare and education, we can do better.
You know, and it goes, and it's not just the zoo, but it's like when you're in a district that's growing. You need representation that's not going to concern themselves with paving a few blocks in the wealthiest community and acting like they've done something for transportation. You need someone that's going to have a comprehensive long-term plan that says, you know what, we need to upgrade this road, this road, this road. We have people moving down here. This is going to be, we can do growth one of two ways, piecemeal, band-aids, hope and prayers, or we can do it right the first time and get a good plan to where the 57 B is moving forward in the right direction.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it much better myself. I do got to throw in a plug because, you know, you can't run without a solid family, and I have a wonderful one. My wife's a home care nurse. She works every day, so I can go out and door knock, door knock, door knock. And I have three magnificent children, two older boys, and my son that's starting the high school this year out here. And so, you know, it's strong, and I know our election's going real well this year. We're getting support where we have never seen support before. The locals are coming out and door knocking with me almost every night, and we're just excited, you know. But we always need more help. So if there's anybody that wants to come down and look at Rosemount, or if you want to buy a house down in Rosemount, Apple Valley, There's plenty of them available, so we can use more Democrats.
Well, you're a district that's very winnable. I mean, what we've looked at, if you look at national trends, we're looking at a definitive 14 to 20 point swing, really, depending on where you're at in the country. I believe the last time this election, this was a 7-point district for the Republicans, well within play this year. And as John just said, he needs volunteers. He needs donations. So here's what I want you to do. Go help your local Democrat by all means. John Hewitt, this is down 57B, southeast side of the metro area. Hewitt for House, HUOTFORHOUSE.com. Hewitt for House. Once again, it's HUOTFORHOUSE.com. I will put links on this to the social media pages later on tonight when we post the show. Go out, volunteer, donate, help flip. This is a seat we need to flip if we're going to take the Minnesota House. If you want that blue wave to happen, John needs to go to St. Paul. And John, do you have every night you're doing some door knocking?
Every night we're out door knocking unless I get called to do something else. We crack the whip down here on me pretty bad. So we want to make sure that we're out doing at least 100 doors a day by me. I have to pull a shift in the ER once in a while. I work nights and then head out to the doors when I get off, and we're going to keep doing that till pretty much November. So,
well, and
need your help.
That's how you win these districts. You go knock on the doors. Republicans are terrified of knocking on doors right now. They are absolutely terrified of doing it. The Democrats, you get on those doorsteps, you knock on those doors, you talk to the people inside, you're going to win. John Hewitt, once again, 57B, Democrat of the day. John, we really appreciate the time. Thank you very much today, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And a big salute to your entire family, a Gold Star family. I can't pass, as a veteran myself, I can't pass that up. So thank you very much, John. I really do appreciate it. John Hewitt, 57B. Let's take a break and come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, everybody. Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Help John Hewitt if you can. I'll put the links up to the websites on the social media. Go to Facebook. It's Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen X. On the Twitter feed, it's Matt McNeil Show. Go find me there. Follow me. Poke me. I like it when you poke me. 952-946-6205. After a tense marathon meeting that laid bare fervent community unrest with government leaders, members of the Minneapolis City Council narrowly pushed forward a controversial proposal Wednesday night to take some power over the police department away from the mayor. Dozens of activists filled the council chambers and dominated the five-hour-long meeting, interrupting others by speaking out of turn, calling council members cowards and trash, and demanding wholesale overhaul of the police department. The debate over whether ceding some police governance to the city council would create more accountability came after two officers fatally shot Thurman Blevins, a black man in North Minneapolis, in June. The question has split the council, and much of the debate between the council members Wednesday centered on confusion over what power the council currently holds over the police. That was more reason, proponents argued, to put the charter amendment on the ballot to let voters weigh in on the police. In November, detractors cast the move as premature politicization of the police department, calling it lip service that would not lead to meaningful reforms. Let's make sure we point out what the problem is in its entirety. First of all, what we have is I think we have a lack of a proper screening process in hiring. I think we have a lack of a proper training process throughout overall. I don't think we have enough annual psychological reviews of officers to make sure that they're still fit for street duty. And on top of that, I think what we've got is Republicans who are not in the metro area trying to make the police, because they can't win the mayor's race, they can't win the city council races, they can't win House seats in that district, they can't win the Senate seats. And so what they're trying to do is take over via control of the police department by basically handing them absolute power on a statewide level to where, as I have mentioned multiple times, they can shoot a police officer, a police officer can shoot someone, and even if they were drunk and off duty, all they really have to do is, "I was scared," and they are going to be found to be not guilty of killing someone. They could even have a manifesto saying, "For the last 5 years, I've been planning on killing this person." And they could still shoot the person. And there's a very decent chance that police officer will not go to jail, because Republicans who are not in the metro area are writing statewide laws that basically give absolute power of instantaneous death sentences to police officers. Now, whether or not you believe police officers should have that power, one thing I think we can all agree, if we are going to give these police officers this power, then we sure as hell better have better hiring processes, better training processes, and constant psychological review of the officers, because they can administer an instantaneous death penalty. That's the problem. Now, whatever the city council can do, I don't know. Needless to say, people in Minneapolis have had enough. Now, if you really want to change this, get out of the metro area. Help Democrats and across the state win back the Minnesota House. They can change some laws. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.